Blog Talk Radio.
Three-minute warning.
DFL, baby!
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be radical. The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the ad. Come on, go, go, go! Be a bit. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You have a little popcorn?
You know what being down by 20 at halftime means?
Sweet, diddly, jack, squat!
Why? Because you can storm back. I know it, you know it. They ducked into their new beds tonight. They don't want to be haunted by you crossing that goal line. But it's time to give them a nightmare. And cross it!
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Candid Frank, the CFL is the best football in the world show. I'm Frank, the true double blue Argo lifer Stanishi and the host of the show. Please welcome our co-hosts and friends of the show, Mike, the CFL is the best football in the world Townsend and future owner. Manasseh, harder to find than Waldo, give him a Dean. Christopher, let's talk CFL and Lion's Den Jones. Kelly, CFL know-it-all Bale. Bruce, the 13th man, John Inch. Aaron, enough with the posting Macintosh. Gary, is it rock season yet, Groob? Stevie, the what else can I buy in Argo colors Richardson. Rob, the pistol, J. Emery. Storm takes no Schmidt. Bill and Liam, the world travelers, and how? Serge, the CFL season ticket hoarder and collector, Duvidien. Derek, the bomber boot, Christopher. Kevin, Cheryl, and Cuddly Clan Kingsley. Kim, watch out, boys, Weaver. Debbie Riders, rule regardless, Wormsbecker. Donna, I will admin ya, Gale. Aaron, William, the meathead freelance. Jarrett, the roadie, and box J Boy Harris. Leanne, Leafs girl, what am I doing here, hockey? Steve, rock and roll Myers. Mike, Keeble, Cable, Cancellera. Reddit, retweet the show CFL every time. Aaron Russell, the organizer, Nagy. Doug, look at the big lens and say cheese Lewis. Joe, I'm like a Tulisan to the show Sardella. Danny E, likes caring for elderly. Salonen. Spike, I will nail you, Sutherland. Andrew, the graphic illustrator, Crump. Frank, the mascot, Kirby. Tony, I wish I could agree with you, Frank Dejeuner. Becca, I will deadlift you, Veludo. Tangerine, I have a dream queen. Annette and Paul, that's my beautiful son, Jason Pottinger. And finally, Randy, Captain Video Christinger.
One, two, three. We're the Argo cheerleaders, and you're listening to the Candace Frank Live Show.
How are things going? Well, the back 40 is coming around. I'm starting to work on the ramp that goes down to the shed. And by the way, I'm a recycle freak. I have like about 2-3 tons of rock on my property. And it all came out of the ground under my driveway, under my lawn, under the road in front of my house. And I used it as effectively as I could. Now, it isn't store-bought stuff, which means two things. Maybe not as good and harder to work with. So Frank's not too bright sometimes. But I learned that afterwards. But I should have known. You know, they're not all the same size and yada, yada, yada. Kind of stuff, like putting together a jig puzzle. It's fun. All right, let's go over what happened this week. It is, of course, Monday, and Monday is review night. We review what's been going on in the CFL this past week. Apparently, there's a lot we can say, and there's a lot that can make us totally unhappy if you've been following. There are a few teams that, let's just say, well, let's go on with what happened. The BC Lions, or was it the Canucks, were beat the Senators 7-5. 7-5. What's going on? My gosh. I mean, Ottawa now is affecting the teams they're playing. Or is it their defense is that good and their offense is not? Well, it appears Ottawa then, we keep saying this, they're losing more and more ground in the playoff hunt because it is going to be difficult for them because all the other teams, the other three, are winning and, well, at a better pace than they were earlier. After Hamilton plays their next game, there'll be equal games played with Montreal and Toronto, and they could very well be tied for first. Going on with the game, of course, 7-5 BC Lions. The worst news of the evening for BC was not the victory and a poor victory that it was. They have lost once again quarterback Travis Lule. He's back on the 6-day injury list, and unfortunately he hurt the same shoulder he had surgery on in the offseason. Well, they're not in that bad a shape. I mean, I think Glenn's done a pretty good job. I think a little better than mediocre, as Christopher will remind us, that all he wanted Glenn to do was go 500. Well, here's the problem. 500 ain't going to get you in the playoffs in the West. 500 in the East will get you first, but not in the West. So Glenn and company are going to have to really, they're really going to have to tighten it up a couple of notches. And but as they stand right now, they are in a playoff spot. Yeah, barely, but they still are, which is the opposite of Ottawa and their inability to actually be in that position. Our next game that we'll be discussing is the Calgary Stampeders, who beat the Edmonton Eskimos 41-34 at home. Well, the 9-1 Stamps, they're definitely on a roll. And they're staying atop the Western Division with what is turning out into a well-balanced attack on offense and, of course, defense as well. Now, Bo Levi Mitchell, he isn't scary good right now in people's minds, but he is consistent, and he's had a great season, and he's done his share of what needs to be done to lead the team to a 9-1 record. Now, it's the efforts of some of the players, with Cornish coming back and Fred Stamps now became an asset. Marque McDaniel's timely catch, 43-yarder, really put a stop to any comeback the Esks and the fella I just mentioned right now, Fred Stamps, on making a comeback. Now, he reappeared, which is great for Edmonton, but unfortunately he didn't reappear enough, to give Edmonton an opportunity to continue their comeback. It kind of ended. The officiating in this game, by some, was questionable. To suggest, yes, it would be. I would agree. The officiating this weekend, I don't know. I have some beliefs and reasons for why I think it's happening, and I'll let you know a little further down this dissertation. The Tiger Cats, they lose a lead, and I believe some respect of their fans, by virtue of the comeback they allowed the Montreal Alouettes to make in Montreal's win in Montreal, 38-31. This game, the officiating was hilarious. I thought it was funny, actually. It got to the point where it went from ludicrous to funny. And I'm not talking about the rapper. Zach Caleros lost his mojo in the second half again, as he did with the Argos last week. And his teammates did as well. I guess the good news is Lyndon Gadosh, their former number one overall pick in the Canadian draft, signed with the team on Thursday. And he can't wait to start playing. They're going to need a spark. And I don't think Caleros is the spark, at least not for four quarters. Apparently he can handle a half, but the second half has been a problem for Hamilton. It may very well be that they're having difficulty adjusting to the team's adjustments, their opposition's adjustments, I mean. I guess they go in, maybe that's the style of the Ticats and their coaching staff, where they go in there, and we know that Kent Austin's a taskmaster, right? That's a nice way of saying he's, really tough. And, he drills it into them before the game. Maybe that's what's so difficult for them to make a change. I know that there's some unhappiness in Tigerland, there should be. Their team were at the Grey Cup last year, and now they find themselves, far away from that. Our next game, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, they've gone 3-for-3 now in the past four or five weeks. They played Winnipeg three times. This last time in Winnipeg, and bad news for the Bomber fans. They lose 30-24. The officiating again was inconsistent, and I really was unhappy with some of the reviews. Holding, buddy. I mean, holding is holding it. But I'm beginning to think, you know, one thing I noticed here in Toronto while watching the game, because we have the benefit of deciding what we're going to see when we're watching a game live, we see what's going on in front of us. We select what we think is important. And I was beginning to notice that Mike O'Shea spends a lot of time leaning into the ear of the even the off-field officials. And maybe it's starting to bite him back in the behind. And that might be the same thing that's going on with Ken Austin. As promised, I said I would mention that. I'd also like to go back to Montreal for a second, because I forgot to mention this. Their defense in the first half was awesome. Their offense and both quarterbacks, Jonathan Crompton, suffering from the loss of a fiance, and Tanner Marsh, who showed us some of that electricity that he had last year, they brought the Owls all the way back. So back to Saskatchewan, 3-for-3 against them. The Riders lose to Rant. We're going to find out. Some people even in this group believe that he is overrated. Well, we're going to find out how overrated he is, because now the success of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, unless they make a trade, will involve quarterback Tino Sabatino Sunseri. A nice, I guess it's an Italian name. I was going to make a joke, but, you know, you've got to be careful nowadays. Everything gets interpreted as being racist. Yeah, so, you know, this guy is going to take over. We're going to see how overrated Darian Durant is and how much the team misses him. The Esks signed Luca Kanji, I guess maybe because he's more willing to shave. I'm just kidding. And, of course, in Toronto Argonautville, the players' unhappiness is being broadcast publicly now. They're speaking off the record, and then it goes on to the record and media, you know, basically, for 3 years now, they haven't had a steady practice facility. Now, Bruce John Inch whines and complains, as well, Hamilton, you know, we went through it. No, you only went through 1 year and a bit. The Argos have been without a home, a practice facility, for 3 years now. 3 years since their facility burnt down in at the University of Toronto, right down the road from where we are here at Erindale. You know, so... admittedly, it was a tough life for Austin and the boys last year and the beginning of this year. But you saw how happy Austin was in getting the stadium and being able to practice in the same place that they're going to play. This is a disadvantage that the Argos are going to have to overcome. And that's why I have publicly said, and I will continue to say publicly, Mr. Braley, sell the team. It's time for you to set aside how much money you want and do the right thing. Be the person that we all think that you are. And think about the good of CFL football in Toronto. Now, I know the game's in BC, and it would be very helpful to you, especially now. It must be tough to want to sell the team, because you don't want to sell the team, because, quite frankly, Toronto may be the difference between BC getting in the playoffs, by the way things sit right now. So, yeah, I'm very unhappy with Mr. Braley. He should be selling the team. I've heard through the grapevine there have been more interest than just MLSE in this team. So, Mr. Braley, sell the team. It's time to sell the team and lower your expectations. $10 million plus a share of revenue from the Grey Cup that'll come to Toronto in the short term is just a little too much to expect. You know, it is a losing proposition, and yes, if I agree with him and his thinking, and what I'm hearing is that he feels that when MLSC, if they do take over the team, they will turn it into a success and they will turn it into a moneymaker. But that's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee. Goodness knows, there are a lot of people who don't think the CFL belongs in Toronto. I think it does. I know it does. But there are a lot of people that don't. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll get the crew involved in this program, and, of course, as you know, the CFL rules. Oh, CFL rules.
Did you know in Canada we have no fair catch rule?
No fair catch?
No fair catch.
Holy mackerel.
You know, hopefully there's Aspen on the side with the medics.
Somebody's going to get hurt.
No fair catch? Injuries? I see some pain.
That could be kind of dangerous. I believe somebody would get killed like that.
You guys like it violent up there, huh?
CFL. We play by our own rules.
Why do you think it takes you guys four downs to get 10 yards? We only need three up there.
Because we always make mistakes.
We're just kind of slow, you know, laid back. Got to get an extra down in before we can get our 10 yards.
Yeah, they give us one just in case.
I love four downs. First down, second down, third down, you know, fourth down.
They're saying you're better than us.
They want the game to go slower, I guess, for the commercials.
Y'all are obviously better. Must be the long winters, maybe.
They have longer legs. Are they faster? Is there, you know, better gene pool?
In the CFL, the play clock is 20 seconds rather than 40.
20-second play clock. Quicker tempo.
Well, they better be a lot smarter men on the field then.
Yeah, man, the respiratory system needs to be in good shape.
That's pretty quick.
That doesn't sound very fair. It doesn't give them enough time. They barely have time to do it here.
God forbid there's a different defense.
Oh, boy, that's fast. I mean, you got to get it done.
I say 30 seconds. Yeah.
I get them an extra 10 seconds.
20 seconds, you know. That would keep things moving and grooving.
You know, in the Canadian Football League, we have 12 guys instead of 11. What do you think, an extra man out there?
Of course. They all look good in their pants.
Ooh, can I take him home?
I think you can never have too many men in tight pants on a football field.
And we have unlimited motion in our backfield.
Wow.
You know?
It's a whole new realm of possibilities, huh?
And they're ready to go again in 20 seconds.
Where is this again?
That's interesting.
I may have to rest up a little.
CFL, I got to watch it. Go Canada.
Yes, go Canada. That was good, you know. This time of year is great because the peaches and the nectarines are out. We can't resist them. I'd probably go through a bushel myself. Love them, love them. I'm finished. Don't even bother doing that kind of stuff, buddy. I'll kick your behind. Don't you hate it when your computer decides to do stuff to you? Okay, let's start at the top of the list. No specific order. But unfortunately, Bruce John Inch is first.
Oski-wee-wee.
Oski-wee-wee back at you, buddy. So I bought a Ticat jersey.
I read that. Which, just the plain one or the new one or the older style? Which one did you get?
I was in St. Catharines, and I went to one of those... What's the name of that place? Well, I shouldn't tell them because people will go and do it. I went to this place where they sell used clothing.
Okay.
And one of the pieces of used clothing was a Ticat kind of jersey with long sleeves.
Okay.
And, I picked it up. $20.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Glad to see you supporting black and gold.
And then my wife went to, where'd you go? Target. And she bought an Argo jersey, just like the one that my buddy Doug Lewis has.
At Target.
And she spent, and she bought it at $30. And it's nice.
Beautiful.
It's a nice jersey. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you guys are going to have to take a picture together.
Yeah.
You and your Ticat. What?
I'm thinking maybe I'll cut both of them in half and then sew them together.
You know what? Why not? For the price? Good idea. You never know.
Yeah, that's what's going on in my life. So, how you been?
Good. I've been good. Good. Went golfing for the first time this year. Today. Had a good day, man. I just tried to stay off the streets because, you know, you walk the streets of Hamilton after a loss and might as well bill your head up here.
I heard. It appears some of the Hamilton fans have their heads up their behinds.
Oh, just a few of them. But, you know, like you said, we win next week, Toronto loses, Montreal loses, we're all tied for first place. How do you like that? And we'll actually be ahead of Toronto. Montreal will actually be on top, then we'll be second and Toronto could be third. You know what I'm saying? Like, just because
you're talking about the
beat you guys.
You're talking about the tiebreaker. Yeah, but we beat Montreal. So we'll all be tied.
You.
I know.
But
so we'll all be tied.
We'll all be tied? Tie. Ooh.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Well, we'd be in front of Montreal, and you'd be in front of us, and Montreal would be in front of you. You see how that doesn't make sense?
Exactly. It's confusing
right?
to shoot, man.
Welcome
but
to the CFL.
I'm not that worried. You know, Durant went down, so that's hopeful for us come Sunday. So,
my
you know,
goodness.
Any given Sunday, like, you know, you ever watch that movie? I believe in that.
Nice Italian kid,
you know, we should have won that
no
last
way.
Game with, hey, what's that?
No way. Nice Italian kid's going to beat Hamilton. If there is no other team in the CFL that has a connection to the Italian community more than the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Saskatchewan's backup.
Exactly. Tino Sunseri. Sabatino. That's probably what his parents called him. His mother, when she got mad at him, Sabatino! Sabatino! Arriva! Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yes.
All right. Are you ready for the show tonight?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Got your Schmidt together?
I got my Schmidt together.
Good.
I do.
Let's go over to Kelly now and say hello to Kelly Bale. Kelly, the mouth from the north, how's it going?
Very well. Nice to hear you, Bruce, and thanks for having me, Frank.
Likewise, too.
Yeah, it's been a good week. I mean, obviously we won, and when you're taking care of business on the field, everything else just falls into place. And, you know, I understand the sentiments about Durant, but if you've been watching the way that we've been winning football games, I think the Durant factor will be a non-factor.
Only time will tell.
Yep. We'll see.
Well, on a more important note, because this is the personal moment we have together, how's Davey doing?
He's doing real good. He's tucked into bed, but I can hear him giggling because he's watching some Treehouse cartoon or whatever.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How's the former hottie? And how's the former hottie cheerleader that you're dating?
She's listening.
Oh, I can hear
her
laughing
in
the background.
Beside me.
There
yeah,
you
she's always here.
Awesome. Hey, Frank.
You know, women are like that.
I'm
mute.
Yeah, just for like 5 minutes, but I'm still here. I just got to make a phone call on my cell phone here.
Okay. All right. So everything good at your place, and everything's going to
it is.
Ready to talk. You're all ready
yeah.
to talk about this week's games that went by
for
in
sure.
week 11. All right, perfect.
Absolutely.
Let's bring in now the man that hasn't seen an Argo piece of item that he doesn't like or want to purchase. Steve Argo Nut Richardson.
Steve, how's it going, guys?
Very well.
Awesome.
That's good. You guys were talking about merchandise. It's kind of funny because I just found out that Old Navy in Ajax is selling Argo T-shirts and Argo car flags.
Awesome.
So I don't know what the prices are. I've heard from a friend, and I haven't had a chance to get to the store yet.
I have an Argo flag already.
Oh, do you?
I got one a few years ago.
Cool that these other stores are now starting to carry some CFL stuff.
Well, you know, it's been 2012 since that thing flew. They have to, you know, it's how they do in the playoffs. When they go to the Eastern Final, that's when it gets erected.
Right.
No erection unless the Argos make it to the Eastern Final. Too much information, dear? Okay. I meant the erection of the flag. Excuse me. God, why do I always have to do that kind of stuff?
I don't know.
Yeah, so how's your week going on a personal level?
Well, I'm on holidays this week, so I'm taking a bit of a break, so I'm pretty happy about that. Other than that, everything's pretty good and at this end. I'm happy to say, though, that the next time the Argos are coming to, when they come back home on October 4th, I'm bringing an old high school friend of mine that's never been to an Argo game, but has become quite the fan, so he's very excited about that. So, you know, you guys will get to meet him.
All right. So,
but, also received some great news also from the Argos. They've invited me, along with, I'm sure, some other first-time season ticket holders, to come early to the October 4th game and watch the warm-up on the field level, like on the sidelines or something.
What about us other loyaler people?
Well, they call it the rookie huddle. So
nice.
I think I think that's what it is. It's all the first-time season ticket holders. So I'm going to get to go down, and my dad's going to get to go down. So
cool.
We're quite excited about that.
I'll have to call them and mention how offended I am. I'll have to call them and mention how offended I am. Boy, the Argos can't do nothing right. I'm telling you. Well, this is what happens when their marketing guy leaves.
It's a great marketing move, Frank, if you look at it, because everybody rewards first-time customers, and this is just an example of the Argos doing it. I think it's brilliant. And, you know, Steve, you mentioned that you're bringing a first-time Argo attendee. That's awesome, man. Thank you very much.
Oh, no, it's my pleasure. I'm happy to be able to do that and influence him to go from NFL to CFL. Like, we both like both leagues, don't get me wrong, but I seem to have convinced him to start watching some CFL, and he's been doing it for the last couple of years now. Just bought himself a personalized Argo jersey, actually.
Right, just to go.
Perfect.
Wicked.
Yeah, so.
All right, let's keep moving, guys. Get a we're almost at the half hour of the show's almost gone, and between me and us just chatting. And I've got Mike Townsend. Oh no, sorry. I forgot I turned on his mic, so he should be ready to talk. You're ready, right, Storm?
I'm ready.
There he is.
Now, Storm.
How's it going, everybody?
If the Calgary Stampeders keep winning, you know, the Storm that I know is going to be full of hot air.
and full of Schmidt, too.
Full of Schmidt. You know, my wife keeps saying that to me, but every time I leave the washroom, I say, I am not full of Schmidt. I'm sorry. again, TMI. So how's your week going?
I was going good. I missed a little bit of football there on Sunday because I was too hungover on the Calgary-Edmonton game there. I sort of passed out in the garage to do my woodwork, so it was all right. It was good. It was a good pass out.
You promised me some woodwork. Where's my woodwork?
Yes.
You promised me a woody.
I still got
Where
your
is
piece. I still got your piece, but you haven't gave me your address yet, so.
Oh, okay.
I just can't send it to Ontario, you know.
I understand. No, it's okay, but you don't even know where I live. How can you? Oh, yeah, I have to give you my address. Carolyn, do you mind if I give Storm my address? Or should we do like his girls that he meets in bars? We'll give him the wrong address? What? No? I'll send you the real address. I should have sent you the real address already. You were invited to – oops, I better not say that. I'll stop right there before
and if you
I get
don't,
in trouble.
And if you don't like it, then you could send it back to me, okay? Okay.
I will. Hey, listen, Storm. Any effort you make towards offering me a gift will be appreciated. Only because we're friends. No other reason. I have to accept it because we are more than just, you know, you guys are my friends that are on here as well. I mean, we don't spend a lot of time chatting and stuff like that. But then again, when you think about it, you have some really good friends. Sometimes you don't talk to them on average once a week. And we do talk once, twice a week. So I guess that fits in the category there.
Yeah, well, it's all
but
done.
But if you're
in
Toronto, I got something going on over here on the 13th, and you're welcome to attend. I've been real busy, and I forgot to. We'll see if it's actually going to happen because a lot of people haven't responded. But that's my fault because I haven't pressured them. Yeah. The wife. We're having some personal issues here, and I've asked people on Facebook to send a prayer for my mother-in-law who has. Well, she has some problems that are scary because anytime you operate on a person who's 80 plus, it's always hazardous. And we hope the best for her. And I've kind of now that I'm thinking about it, because automatically just I'm in that situation where I'm not pressuring people to show up because I'm not sure, you know, where we're at in the next couple of days, or next week or so. But regardless, anyway. Mi casa, su casa, okay, buddy?
Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking to you, Storm. And
okay,
I appreciate
it. I didn't know what the heck that meant, but, yeah, it's ready to go. And like I say, sometimes I make stuff and it just comes out of nowhere and I just go from there and it comes from the apple tree. So there you go.
Oh, okay. The apple tree. Oh, okay. That's good. That's great.
Yeah, 30
right,
foot
also,
apple tree. So I just cut down branches.
How's the Edmonton sweetie that lives with you?
We come to an agreement where, well, she's my best friend. She's not my sweetie, but anyways, we come to agreement that when Calgary and Edmonton play against each other, that we don't really say anything because it'll come back to burn you in the Schmidt.
Yep. Yes.
But
yes,
you know,
gotcha.
I could walk around the house with a smile all I want, but as long as they don't say nothing, it's all good.
Yeah, it's kind of. I can imagine how hard it is for you to walk through doorways with a smile that you have on your face.
Yeah.
Be a little wide, right? Yeah, because you're just surprised the rest of us that Calgary's doing this well. Who are you kidding?
Well, I'm a little surprised. I wouldn't say a lot, but I'm a little surprised. But it's Bo Levi Mitchell, I tell you, and Cornish, and the whole team, period.
Mark Quay McDaniel.
It's great.
Great trade. Hamilton misses him. They could use him right now.
Mm-hmm.
Also on the program with us tonight, as usual, Mike Townsend. What else can I say that hasn't been said before? The CFL is Man of the Year. How's it going, Michael?
Hey, what's up, Frank? How you doing, man?
Awesome, great. How are you doing? How's hanging around the house more? Wife getting tired of it?
It's okay, you know what I'm saying? It's not like what I thought it would be, but, you know, it's all good, you know. Hey, what can I say, man? I'm having a good night tonight. I just watched the Detroit Lions kick the crap out of the New York Giants on Monday Night Football. Now I'm watching San Diego Chargers play. So, you know, it's a good night tonight.
It's all good.
It's all good, you know.
So everything's good at home. Are you for this weekend? Are you going to come up or?
Nah, with me starting that new job, man, I couldn't even do it. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't get the time off.
That's okay. It's okay. It's okay. My feelings are hurt, but I'll get over it. No, I mean, I will. Like I said, we're in a situation, and I'll be totally honest, I don't care if it's public or not. We're going to have some people over. And I haven't been bugging people about coming over because we've run into some issues with the mother-in-law. And it's one of those things where you go, you know, careful what you wish for. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, so it's kind of tough around here. That doesn't mean we're not going to open up the casa here, mi casa, su casa thing. I know Gary Grube will be here. I got to check. Mr. Howe's wife might show up with the baby. So it'll be awesome if it happens.
There you go.
Yeah, so, and you know what? We can do it another time, Mike, when you can get time.
Oh, yeah.
That means, when are you going to see a CFL game? Because it's getting to the point where you won't be able to stay in the guest house.
You know what? I'm trying to put together, man, sometime in late October, you know, before the season ends, man, so I can get to Toronto or Hamilton, man. It's either one or the two.
What would the conditions be like in the guest house in October?
Oh, an extra blanket.
There you go.
How you doing, buddy?
Yep.
Hey, what's
First
up, Bruce? How you doing, man?
I am. I'm back. I'm good, man. It's all good, you know. Another loss, you know, life goes on. It's all good.
Okay, we've got one more caller to go through. I tried calling Manasse. You know, I'm not even sure. Oh, you know what? Douglas might want to come on, too. Maybe I'll give him a call as well. We'll see if he wants to be on. He's asking about it anyway. So 661. Is that you, Christopher?
I think so.
Ah, okay, it is you. You didn't message me to tell me to call you.
That's okay. I got my internet working wonderfully today, so I'm all happy and back on Skype.
Oh, there you go.
So
you don't need me.
I want to try it out to see if it's working.
It's working
sounds
better
good.
Than it did last time.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, well, it sucked before.
It really did suck before. So how are the studs treating you? The horses, the nags,
everything's doing wonderful. I'm just working my tail off trying to get ready for winter here and as the summer gets into the twilight and we get past Labor Day and football gets exciting and the farm gets exciting and everything seems to get busy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The wine season is in full swing. Everything's going. I'm going daylight to daylight.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because tonight after a few weeks of not having any, I'm drinking wine. The wine has really fermented well.
Fermented.
Yeah, fermented. If you drink it too soon, it's a bit harsh. And it's the wine
well,
is
you should
the,
let it
the
sit
wine,
for a year.
Yeah, well, I can't wait. I let it sit for a week and then I start drinking it.
I used to work at a wine factory.
Did you?
I did out in Burlington, Colada Wines. I don't know if
you did. Oh yeah. I know there.
Yeah, so.
I got 1,400 bottles in my wine cellar, and every one of them is about 3 years old.
1,400? Yeah, but you haven't sent me any yet. You haven't
Holy
sent me any
hell,
yet.
Man.
Yeah.
Do I have to give you my address too?
I can't just toss it on a bus.
To Ontario.
Well, I tell you what. Since you're putting me up during the Grey Cup, I'll pick some up and bring it home myself.
You're going to stay at my place? That's funny.
Well,
I'm
no
so
room?
Far away from there. Hamilton's closer to Toronto than I am to Vancouver.
I really don't give a rat's ass.
Because okay.
I'm going to drag you out to all the stuff that's going on, and we're going to have fun.
Okay.
You know,
there you go.
A stick in the mud like you needs to be stirred a little. Right, Mike?
Ooh,
there
attitude.
You go.
There you go. I'm going to make a recording of that. There you go.
There you go. talking about recordings, you got to give me a heads up when you're going to play that commercial with that whistle. My dog goes absolutely snaky, man.
The whistle? Oh,
no,
oh the
dude.
CFL rules.
Yeah, my dog goes nuts. I don't know what it is about the pitch or whatever, but he ain't. Yeah,
did you know
yeah,
in Canada
that,
we...
Man. But well, especially if I have it on speaker, oh my goodness!
Boomer,
because it goes
Boomer
off like three
like
times during a commercial too.
Yeah, well, it keeps going. No. Each time there's a new thing that he's saying, it goes to each part,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Each comment. All right, let's dive right in and
we have our life jackets on.
Oh. Hey, listen, if you're a Ticat fan, you need a life jacket.
I got my water wings on anyway.
Yeah, no kidding. The crap that people are throwing at you, it's ridiculous. I can't believe how instantaneously how fans turn from 1 week going, wow, what a great team, we're going to win the Grey Cup, to who the heck do these guys think
we didn't even play a good game against Toronto, and Toronto didn't play a good game. Both teams didn't play.
The game was
one
of the
worst
games.
We all thought, oh, here we go.
Year.
I know.
That's been happening all year, though, Bruce. You know,
you get used to it.
It seems like teams are playing to the lower level.
Especially over here, you know.
I don't understand how we had 12 points scored in Ottawa. 12 points total.
That, too.
To say that, he has to talk about both teams.
I have no response to that. It was so embarrassing.
Isn't it? Well, let's go one game at a time, and let's see. What do our friends at – what the heck's going on here? Our friends at the TSN and company. No. Wait a second now. Something's gone.
The Toronto Sports Network?
No. CFL.ca. That's where I take. You know, as far as that's concerned, we start with CFL.ca.
I don't even want to discuss that top story then.
BC Lions and Ottawa Red Blacks. And like I said at the top of the show, it was more like the Vancouver Canucks than the Ottawa Senators. 7-5. Since you brought it up, Christopher, I mean, I know you're not happy to talk about it, so we might as well start with you.
I don't mind talking about it. I mean, it wasn't a brutal game. It was a very good defensive game on both sides of the ball. I mean, both teams played really good defense. It's just the offense just did not come together and do anything. And we lost Lule. He is gone. He has completely torn his shoulder apart, and he has undone everything, all of his surgery before. He has been placed on the 6-game injury list, and they will reevaluate his career.
It's over.
That's true.
It could very well be over.
It's over. It shouldn't be. We don't want it to be. Listen, Argo fan, Ticat fan, whatever fan you are, we don't want to see something like that.
We're CFL fans, and nobody wants to see one of the star players go down.
No,
absolutely not.
Nobody wants to see him go through what he did again to wreck it again. That's like putting Buck Pierce out for another concussion. You just don't want to see it happen.
No. No, that's like we're talking about the
take
person.
The back of the bus.
Now
we're talking about a person, not a team.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. And we're not talking about a player. We're talking about a person.
That's
and
right.
We're talking about life and something that this guy dreamed about his whole life.
It's a shoulder and not a brain. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah. It could be worse. Sure.
I mean, yeah, you can go through your life with a little bit of pain, shoulder pain for the rest of your life. But if you know you got your marbles scrambled,
yeah,
it's not a good
thing. And the other thing
so,
is, it's not like his life is short on accomplishments either.
No.
Right?
No, right?
I mean,
no.
He won a Grey Cup.
He's done
he
everything that he could do in the CFL.
Yeah. You know,
I
so
mean,
on that note.
Most outstanding player, Grey Cup.
Yeah.
You know, top of the division, everything. I mean, he did
if
that.
He was
he
a
came
buddy
back
of mine.
Five, stopped and did it.
Yep. If he was a buddy of mine, I'd be able to say that to him with a straight face. You know, buddy, you've accomplished more than a lot of guys wish they could in a career longer than yours. You know, but still.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to see what, you know, I don't want to start the funeral before he dies, you know what I mean? But, you know, I'm just saying it's time for him to think about it and be prepared, you know, because
there's a lot of talk. According to what I've been reading on him right now is that's kind of what the doctors are saying to him right now. McCormick is just saying, you know what, this is, you know, we don't know if we're going to be able to put this back together.
Yeah, and you know what? Listen,
the only good thing out of this is he actually might be as good a coach as Dave Dickinson. So, BC's got something in the wings
there
where we can have somebody that's
going to... fact that he was gone. And you whined about the fact that that guy was gone.
Yeah. So, anyhow, that's my take on the Ottawa game. It was brutal.
It is what it is.
It was a W. Right, as Coach Benny said, it was a W. Doesn't matter anything else.
Yep, just like the Bush guy.
Yeah.
And you know what they said about Clinton, right?
I'm not going there.
That's all right. He followed Bush.
My mama raised no fool. I'm not going there.
My mama raised an ignorant son of a bitch. So here I am. Yeah, Clinton followed Bush all his... No, never mind. Anyway... So basically the game was a Titanic. I think we call it a Titanic. A defensive struggle. Would that be fair, Bruce?
I'd say that's a good assumption. I really, really feel bad for Henry Bruce, so, man. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, that's another guy's career is over.
You know, I thought Ottawa would be a lot better team. It doesn't matter. I did. I thought Ottawa would be a lot better team this year. You know, they had a lot of veterans that, you know, like people said, it's not like a brand-new rookie team.
Yeah, no Schmidt.
But, you know, let's see what they're like next year. You know, obviously this year's going to – well, nobody's really a write-off in the East yet, you know. That's a bad thing about it.
Gosh, no. Mm-hmm. You get on a run and win a game. You know, you get on a run and
win
a game.
That's right. Yeah. Win a game.
A game.
Yeah.
You know, there's a good possibility BC's going to end up 11-7 in the year and they're going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, there's a distinct possibility. It's not even funny. I don't even think, I think they should make a rule in the middle of the season and say, if two Western teams are better than two Eastern teams, they get to make the playoffs.
Just do away with the divisions.
Yeah, you know what? You know. Let's be clear about one thing. Here's the debate, right? The debate is, do you want to have the East-West final? Well, what's the difference? You know, I'm starting to think, you know, because I don't like this. I don't think the teams in the East are motivated enough to win. And I believe this of the. Well, you know what? We'll save this for the post-review part of the program. I should stick to the schedule, and the schedule says we talk about BC and Ottawa, and we'll move down the list, and we come to Kelly Bale now. Kelly, how'd you like the hockey score?
Well, if you remember on the prediction show, I didn't have much to say about this one, and really the only thing I said about BC is that they would win by a low-scoring margin and a low-scoring game. No surprises.
Going on.
Yeah, no surprises here. I mean, One thing I factored into it last week and I didn't mention was the fact that BC has to travel to Ottawa for the first time in a number of years. This is just, you know, one thing that you have to get over as a club. And, you know, BC also has had some timely injuries and stuff this year, and they had a couple guys coming back last week, not necessarily star players, but with the exception of Lule, but I can't even remember names off the top of my head. But, you know, to have to come back and go to Ottawa after a short week of practice, that's, it's not an easy thing to do, and I thought that they would be tired like they looked. And, yeah, it was an okay game, though. Like Chris said, I mean, the defenses were firing. I still enjoyed watching it. Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
Okay, let's bring Steve Richardson into. Did you get a chance, Steve, to watch the game between BC and
I did get to watch, like, the second half of it. I don't know what to really say about it. It was a defensive game, I think, as I think Chris mentioned, Christopher mentioned, was definitely that. I really got really not much to say about the game itself. Surprised on how low of a scoring game it was, though.
Great hockey score.
Great
hockey,
yeah.
Baseball.
That's a high-scoring hockey.
It was more baseball.
Yeah. But
there were a lot of hits, I have to admit.
Fighting. But, yeah, I really don't really have too much to say about the game itself, though. That
okay,
hasn't
Mr.
already
Schmidt,
been said, anyways.
Mr. Schmidt?
Oh, I didn't hear my name, sorry. Yeah, I watched the whole game, and like everybody said, the hockey score, 1980s the hockey score, blah, 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 and lowest scoring game since 1979. I don't even think I hit puberty since then. But, yeah, I feel bad for Burrs. Like, who said that? John Inch?
Yep.
Yeah, I feel, you know, and the fans are just booing and booing and booing, and you can't blame them in a way, right? You know, and it's like you said, it's like you're going into an expansion team this year, but it's not really an expansion team, and people just can't hang on to the ball. Like, oh, my God. Like, really?
The Renegades won 7 games.
Yep. And they never had the players like that Ottawa has now, though. You know what I mean?
From what we understand, what we believe, you know? I mean, I'll be the first person to say that I thought Ottawa would be a lot better. But maybe I bought maybe I bought something that was for sale that I shouldn't have bought.
Well, look at Frank. Mm-hmm. I picked Ottawa at the beginning of the season to finish first, so there you go.
Well, you know what? You're an average guy because, quite frankly, when you add Calgary and Ottawa together, that puts you about average. Not
hey,
too dumb.
Ottawa
not
still
smart.
Can finish first. They're not out of the game yet.
They got to go on a run. I told you they got to win a game.
They're only 2 games out of first.
That's a heck of a run. That's 2 runs.
Yeah, I know.
Score a touchdown. Score a touchdown.
That's
touchdown.
That'd be a hot streak for them is scoring a touchdown. Finding
catch
the end
ball. Just catch
yeah,
the
no.
ball.
God awful, boy. But those boys. Oh,
and they
could have
won that
God
game, too,
offensive.
Though. They could have won it. They could have won that game, Ottawa.
Mama Pottinger tells me the games are exciting. She's really enjoying watching the games and watching her son on the field, and I think that's great. Yeah, so that's awesome that it's like that. And finally, Mike Townsend, Ottawa, and our friends from BC.
BC.
Well, it was a defensive game, we'll say. I just feel bad for Lule, man. You know what I'm saying? I had high hopes for him this year. And I just feel bad for him, man. You know, hopefully he better bounce back. But I'm not too sure. You know, I hope, like I said, I hope he bounced back. But, you know, the best thing that I've seen on TV that was exciting was when the wind was blowing, everything was going across the field, you know?
Well, that's great because the teams weren't going across the field unless they were chasing a defender who just intercepted a ball.
Right, because the storm had just blew through Michigan, through Detroit and Southfield, maybe like an hour and a half before it hit Iowa, man, because we were feeling the same effects. Our lights was flicking on and off like Christmas lights. The wind was blowing, and they said it was heading east. So
yeah, right, enough with the wind noises.
Right. Any time now, I'm going to see the rain come down in Ottawa, and then when I see it just start pouring down, I say, there it is. But, hopefully BC can bounce back, man, with their quarterback. Hopefully Kevin Glenn can go ahead and take the helm.
Well, we'll get into that later, but I'll just say real quick, I'd rather be BC than Saskatchewan right now when it comes to quarterbacks. Having said that, let's move on to the Calgary game. And, Mike, you stay at the head of the class here. And so Calgary wins 41-34. I think the score, I think, was complimentary to Calgary. I think Edmonton was in it better than that. And I really do think that this is when I started to wonder about the officiating this year. And I'm beginning to really have some concerns. This weekend was probably the worst bit of officiating that I've seen. I mean, I've heard, you know, Manasse talk about conspiracies. I've heard Christopher talk about how, you know, officials are controlling, you know, changing the path of a game. But I think this weekend, more than anything, I've seen evidence of that fact. And in this game in particular is where it started. This is where it started. And it got worse as the weekend went on. Almost as, like, you know, a flight path. You know what I'm saying? And it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. I'm not saying that Calgary wouldn't have won. Okay, Storm? So don't go there. But I am saying that Edmonton would have had a far better chance of winning this game if the officiating was a little more up and up. What do you think?
Just equal.
Just equal.
Well, Frank, I watched some of the game. I didn't watch it all. You know, I was glad to see Fred Kevin back on the field, even though
I thought of you when I saw that.
Yeah, he wasn't much of a factor, but I think in weeks to come, we're going to start seeing more number two getting involved in the offense. And I think he was out there, man, to bring a little confidence to the team, you know, get him riled up a little bit, you know, a little self-motivation, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And hopefully in the next couple of weeks, number two can get in acclimated with the offense and we can see what Edmonton is really about, you know?
I think it's also his health,
man.
Mike. I think it's also his health and his confidence in his body.
Yep. You know, and, you know, you just need another Darius Bowman, that is not going to cut it. You need the other guy, man, that complimentary guy to come out there and help
Absolutely.
You win the game. So we'll see what Edmonton is about in a couple of weeks. But Calgary, Bo Levi Mitchell, what can I say, man? The guy's playing out his mind, you know? From what I did see, you know, Calgary's ran on all cylinders, man. And I changed my pick. I think I'm going with them for the Western Finals, taking it all the way. I don't see them slowing down, not even. And Marquay McDaniel, man, he's so much underrated
hey.
Receiver. That guy, man, is
amazing.
The best receiver that he was last year.
I don't know why Ty Ketchum would go to him.
Man, that guy is good. That guy is good. He's reliable.
A vacuum.
Yep.
So, amazing.
That's what I got to
okay,
say
how
about
you, that. Jump in, Christopher. You jump in on this subject, Calgary, Edmonton.
Well, I think that if Mike Riley was playing this game, it would have been Edmonton's. Matt Nichols played a good game, but he was a little rusty. I don't think he's quite the quarterback Mike Riley is. Calgary wouldn't have had a hope if Riley was playing this game. Calgary just has not – they've been winning games. They're getting the Ws, but they just have not been they haven't been putting a good game together. And 41 points, yes, they scored, but it wasn't a great game for them.
I think Edmonton should have taken it. If the time didn't run out, they probably would have. I don't know.
And if a couple calls went their way.
Yeah, well, I'm not even going to go there. It's been so bad in the last 3 weeks. It's ridiculous.
It's awful, isn't it?
It is. It's terrible.
And,
we're not there yet.
I'll wait till we get to that game. You're right. We're not there
yet.
We'll
get to that game.
Yeah.
So that's all I got to say. I mean, it was a good game. It was entertaining. I enjoyed watching it. I picked Edmonton. I thought for sure they were going to win. I still think they could have won. It didn't turn out that way, and Calgary's on a roll, and we're not going to catch them.
I'm not picking the game again until I call the officials first.
Yeah, and I called the game before I found out who the quarterback was too. So that didn't help.
There you go.
But if I knew Matt Nichols was playing, I would never have picked Edmonton.
There you go. But you know he is going to be the thumb's still not working for Riley, and that's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is.
That's all there is to it. How about you, Storm? I'm sure you're not unhappy with the turn of events in Edmonton.
Oh no, it was a great game. Yeah, the officiating, but I mean that's all season, so I'm used to it by now. But anyways, yeah, you know, Daniel, Bo, Levi Mitchell, even Cornish. I mean, it's all a team effort, and when you're there to see it, it's great. Some fans are pretty rude. Some fans are crying for Riley, and all week here in Edmonton, they're saying Riley's going to start. And I don't know if that was trying to confuse Calgary or what.
Probably.
That's what we're just led to believe.
Didn't work.
But you know
what?
The last thing
Calgary was in that game was confused.
Yeah, and you know what? And I don't know if anybody will agree with me on this, but that's just my opinion anyways. But
I agree. Bo Levi Mitchell
is so calm, cool, and collective, I tell you. He's going to be a gooder.
Well, this guy's a winner. Wherever he's been, he's won. So, you know, it's not like he doesn't know how to win, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
well,
the beauty of this
but
guy.
You could say that about every quarterback because most of them were all winners at the college level.
Not really.
That's how they got into the pros.
A lot of them get into the pros without winning championships, but you know, raising statistics that are very attractive. And you have to admit that statistics are very, impressive, but if you don't win the Grey Cup, those statistics mean very little vis-a-vis Darian Durant.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, exactly.
I mean,
But the thing is, too, though, is, you know, I'd rather be 9-1 than 1-9, right? You know what I mean?
I'd rather be 9-1 than 3-7.
Well, Calgary's got what more wins?
You really want me to tell you how I feel? My team
well,
sucks.
Yeah. We'll get on that
sucks.
On Wednesday. We'll get on that on Wednesday when Toronto plays in Calgary.
Well, if our backup plays, we'll win.
Well, you
no
know,
laughter,
it's,
nothing,
it's,
no reaction. Oh my lord!
Well, it's going to be tough, but the odds are Calgary's going to lose a game here sooner or later,
well,
right?
It's
and
a
the
good
odds
segue.
Are.
Well, they got to play BC twice.
Yeah, Saskatchewan twice. Winnipeg
Edmonton
twice.
Edmonton twice.
But I'm not worried about them. I'm not worried about Winnipeg though.
Stevie, help me out here, buddy.
No.
Calgary,
Ow.
Edmonton. Calgary, Edmonton this week. Calgary, Toronto next week. But Calgary, Edmonton this week. What'd you think of the game?
I thought it was a good game. To what I've caught of it, I was just actually going through as you guys were talking about it, some of the top 10 plays that the TSN posted, and there were some pretty. Just to kind of refresh my memory, and there were some pretty big catches between the Calgary
Mark
and
McDaniel.
Yes. Overall, I thought it was a very entertaining game. I was happy with it. I didn't really have a favorite going into the game, so either way, I wasn't disappointed on who won and who lost. But Calgary's hot this year, definitely. Hotter than I was expecting. I think we agree on that.
Well, you know what else we can agree on, Steve? You know what else we can agree on? Is that when the Argos meet them in the Grey Cup, they'll be history.
Right.
Yeah.
2012
so
all
funny.
Over again. I like to think that.
Calgary's
but
always the bridesmaid.
We're going to have a tougher time with them this coming
we're hoping,
weekend.
Calgary.
And
we're hoping. Us Argo fans are hoping that Calgary makes the Grey Cup.
I'm just hoping we make the Grey Cup.
I won't make
it. You just hope to make the playoffs. Just make the playoffs, buddy.
Yeah, that's true.
Dude, we only need to win 5 games to make the playoffs.
We are the only that are beating some teams in the West in compared to all the rest of the Eastern teams. So I guess that's sort of bragging.
Who did you beat in the West?
What's that?
Who did you beat in the West?
Who did we beat in the West? We beat the Riders.
Saskatchewan. That's
and
it.
And we beat the Bombers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I believe they were both at home, though, weren't they, Frank?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
We've beat them both at home.
So in the East, that's our bragging rights right now. It's not much, but it's something. We just got to get healthy.
And well, find
every
home.
Team needs to get healthy.
What's that?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Every team needs to get healthy.
Yeah, but no, we need to find a home. 3 years of not having
Winnipeg,
a home.
Winnipeg's
little...
one of the few teams that's not healthy. It is
that's
healthy.
Why I picked them to miss, that's why I picked them to miss the playoffs, I mean, at the beginning of the year, because it's just not
going
to
You knew
happen.
They were going to be unhealthy?
No, missed the playoffs.
It, yeah.
Well, you know what? In the West, it's a tough call. I mean, how do you bet against BC? How do you bet against even Calgary? Like, I figured if there was going to be a team on the outs in the West, I thought it would be Calgary. They proved me wrong. And every game, they find a way to win. It's amazing. Kudos to Calgary. They put a couple of bandages on their team, and they win. I mean, they came here to Toronto, and they put some bandages on. And I even told Storm, I said, Storm, don't worry. Your team will be fine. You know, you'd be surprised how many times a team wins that shouldn't. And the son of a guns, they went and did it. They beat the Argos. And even Storm himself wasn't sure. I mean, I think I'm speaking
honestly. Well, because I just don't trust Ricky Ray because he's been here too long in Edmonton, right? And I know how good a player he is, right? So that's why, you know. And they don't usually play that well against Toronto in Toronto, so.
Now, moving on to, let's see, that was Argonaut Richardson. Ah, Kelly. Kelly, Calgary. And
yes.
I didn't see a whole lot of this one. Getting very, you know, nervous about having to play the Eskimos and Stampeders in the back half, and I'm going to leave it up to the team to scout these guys. I don't really want to watch them play each other. So I'm not going to say a whole lot about this game, but, the one thing I can say is hats off to Calgary. They think that they are the best team in the West and in the CFL, and their record certainly indicates that. But, that horseshoe on their shoulder? I think they've been the beneficiaries of a lot of good luck at the right time this season, and I think their record is a bit inflated. I think they are due for a slew of losses in this back half, and we'll see how real they are when they do have to play Saskatchewan and Edmonton and Winnipeg and BC in back-to-back weeks. Now, Edmonton, I also would have picked to lose had I known that Nichols was starting. I was shocked. I don't think it was a conspiracy or anything like that on the ref's part. And I think if you would have went to practice, you'd have seen who was taking first team reps too. So I'm at fault for my Edmonton choice there. But it was a good game from what I understand. And hopefully Edmonton fans aren't too upset, because if I was an Eskimo fan, I'd
be pretty demoralized right now.
Not as much as Winnipeg fans. How about you, Bruce, Johnny?
Yeah.
Or Ottawa.
I never really watched that game, so I have no comment. So,
oh, my God. You guys never watch Calgary play. Like, holy.
I got no interest in the West. See, that's why I hope. I got no. Let me finish, because I have no interest in the West. I know I'm a CFL fan, but if Eastern and I'd rather watch an East and West game, and that's why I think the CFL would never go to that playoff strategy that you guys want, top eight teams, because if it is a West and West, I won't be watching the Grey Cup. You know, I just can't get into it. I'm telling you the
truth.
Come
on, suck it up, Sally. Suck it up.
You're either a fan or you're not.
You don't have to be a fan, Chris, not to want. Just like I'm a huge NHL fan, but I never watched the Stanley Cup Finals this year. Both teams I have no interest in those teams.
I agree with you.
All right, so why can't I feel the same about the CFL and still love the CFL?
You can't tell me I don't like the CFL just because
I don't like to watch two Western teams.
Here's my logic. The reason you show less interest in the NHL is because none of the teams are Canadian in the final. I'm telling you that the difference
is the CFL. Don't tell me how I feel.
Oh, okay. Because the Leafs aren't in the final?
If Detroit was in the final, I'd be watching in a heartbeat. Boston was in the finals, I'd be watching in a heartbeat. You know, it just doesn't have to be a Canadian team. You know, if I had that, I'd be never watching the Stanley Cup Finals.
Ouch.
Well, I wouldn't. When was the last time? Calgary? You know, I don't know.
Montreal.
1993.
I hate Montreal more than I hate the Eagles. You know, there's so few football games in the season that to miss one or two, you're missing such a large percentage of our season that I don't want to do it.
Yeah, well, let's say you had missed the BC Ottawa snoozer. Would anybody really have regretted that? Come on, this is about priorities, and sometimes like Bruce made a priority decision where he had something better to do than watch the two Western games. I've done it exactly the opposite way, where Toronto is playing Hamilton, and I just haven't been interested enough in the past to watch it over the options of what's going on in my life around the CFL. You know, like, it's no big deal, guys.
But honestly, I'm not saying it is. I'm just, yeah.
But to Christopher's point, and Christopher, you make it yourself, what's the difference in watching the East-West final and watching the two best teams in the Canadian Football League from Canadian cities play for the Canadian championship known as the Grey Cup?
Yeah.
I hate to be heavy-hammered about this, but guys, come on. If Toronto's the second-best team in the league and they lose to Calgary in the Grey Cup, it doesn't ruin the experience. And if it's Saskatchewan's that's the best team and Calgary's the second-best team, it's still the Canadian championship. See, that's the part where I'm starting the tipping point for me, is that it's about the best two teams in Canada playing against each other and the rest of the country rallying behind the game, which is what we do.
We pit the best in the West versus the best in the East. Let's not make a mockery of the tradition of the CFL. That's not
it's
what
not
we
a
do,
mockery,
Frank.
Though.
We, sure, we go but, East but, versus West, and that's
but,
the way it's always been.
Reality. There's a new
no,
reality.
There isn't, really.
There
no,
is. No, no. I'm going to make my
you
point
wipe
real quick.
Out tradition?
No, no, no. The new reality is that the best two teams in Canada don't have to come from East and West. They can come from two from the West or two from the East. Who the heck cares?
That messes with 100 years of tradition, my friend.
A lot of people care.
Why would we want to watch a Grey Cup between an East and a West team if the East team has less points than the fifth-place Western team?
Sometimes a different way to put Christopher's point is,
why should we watch a less motivated team in the East play against a more motivated team in the West? Because right now I have seen nothing but proof in the fact that the CFL East is less motivated to win. There's no doubt in my mind today, as I sit in this chair where I'm sitting right now, is the freaking Eastern Division doesn't give a rat's ass about winning games. All they care about is making the playoffs. That's it.
That's convoluted, man. I don't
well,
buy
how do you
that
say that? It's very direct.
They
I don't think it's convoluted.
Games. You're giving no credit to the Western teams, man. These
yes,
Western teams are coming in there, and they're kicking your ass, and that's the bottom
right.
line.
Right, Kelly, that's exactly the point, though, that Frank's making, is that the Eastern teams have the same ability as the Western teams to build a championship team, to build a team to tear up the entire season, and they have chosen not to. All they want to do is make the playoffs so that they can take a run at the Grey Cup. Because how can those four teams in the East, well, let's not count Ottawa, but the other three, be so pitiful this year?
It's just this year, though.
They just
haven't part of your
season. It wasn't anything much better last year.
Wow. Yeah, no. I just think, like, you know, you can jump on the bandwagon here and say there's something wrong, but, you know, this is a problem that isn't indicative of, you know, the way that CFL has gone for 101 years.
Kelly, I'm not jumping on the bandwagon and saying there's something wrong. I'm jumping on a bandwagon where I have my eyes wide open and I'm seeing what's going on.
You know what, guys? We spent a lot of time on this. We ain't even got with the other teams, the other games that played.
Yeah, you're right. Anyway, the whole point is that as an Argo fan, I'll close my part of this and I'll give you guys a chance. As an Argo fan, I would like to see my team be the best they can be. And right now, I don't think they're being the best they can be. I think their owner should sell the team and give the team an opportunity to be the best they can be. That's it. That's it for me. The owner doesn't care about Toronto being successful or being good or whatever. He doesn't care anymore. All he cares about is selling the team for the number he wants.
That's true.
Well,
Frank, I heard your rant at the beginning, and that was so wrong. Let's move on, as Mike said.
Okay, you're right. Okay. So let's see now. Was that all of us on that game with Calgary?
Yeah, I did. Yep.
Okay, so then we'll start with Bruce John Hinch. And talk about the third game, which of course is the one that includes his team, that God forgive them. They knew not what they do. They were mistaken in thinking that they could roll over the Montreal Alouettes and have a second half like they did against the Argos. And unfortunately, Montreal said, hey, we have a bit of an offense, unlike the Argos, and we will defeat you because we do. Tanner Marsh and of course, their starting quarterback. Proved too much for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Do you disagree, my friend, Bruce Johnage?
No, I don't disagree. And it was an extreme heartbreaker. You know, we were up by that much in halftime, and we were all happy in the man cave or the cat cave, and then what the heck happened, man? It was like three touchdowns within 6 minutes. We had fumbles. We had missed opportunities. We had useless, arrogant, no-brain penalties. Yeah, sure, we had a couple bad ref decisions, especially on the tug of the jersey, but that didn't lose the game for us, man. You know, like, I have no idea what was said in the locker room at halftime, but they came out looking like a whole different team in that second half. I still got faith in Kolaris, you know. Now that Durant's hurt, I'm hoping that, you know, if we pull off a win here at home on Sunday, then all will be forgotten to a lot of these
Absolutely.
People.
Absolutely. You're
you know,
right.
All will be forgotten. You know, like if you listen to, they have the, like I said, they have a radio show after the game every week. And the people that were trashing this team on this show versus the people, and it was the same flippant people that phoned a week earlier and praised the team. You know, even when we played like Schmidt, you know, but we won the game, you know, same people just trash this team. And, you know, come on, man, either you're on the wagon or you're off. You know, every team's going to go through it. I still think we're going to make the playoffs, but, you know, until the mathematical tells me else, I'm always going to say that, you know.
All right,
but
Kelly, then Steve Richardson.
You know, this game was a good game to watch, really. I'm very happy with the fact that Hamilton had such a good first half, and because, you know, as you know, we are playing them next, and they showed us just enough of what they can do to really help us prepare for them. Now, I am kind of sad that they lost, because I always like to face a team coming off a win. Montreal played awesome, I thought, at times. They looked, you know, like a 200% version of the regular Montreal Alouettes we've been seeing. I was happy for Crompton, having faced adversity as he has, and just want to give a shout-out to him and, you know, the people in his life and everybody affected. I thought Hamilton was improved again, even though they had that drop-off in the second half. Rider's End's got to come sometime. I think it could be this week. Hamilton's looking fairly good. I mean, like, they just really impressed me in this game. Even in the second half, with the exception of the penalties and, you know, the undisciplined play, like Bruce was saying, the missed opportunities. But, yeah, I thought it was a good game. I mean, it was really entertaining.
Oh, yeah. It was, no, I'm not, don't get me wrong, man. I'm sore this morning from yelling so much, man, you know.
For sure.
And I was in my flipping own house. I don't think my neighbors appreciated some of my language coming out of me, but, you know.
Yeah.
That's when then I realized I better go upstairs and close the windows.
That's called second half slang in Hamilton, right?
Yeah. You could say that, I guess, but, you know, I had to think. You know, I was using some choice words, and I have to think of my neighbors, so I apologize to them if they're listening, you know. But,
apologize.
Never even.
Apologize.
You just you get carried away, and there might have been kids out front or whatever, but I wasn't too happy, man. I wasn't. I think Phyllis taped me, actually.
John Itch would get carried away.
Oh, did he actually, Phyllis put a tape of me up, and I don't know if it's still on the wall,
but
it was brutal.
You're not under the dome, man. You're not under the dome.
Which means free speech?
Which means everybody can hear you. You can yell inside the dome and nobody will hear you outside.
Oh, yeah, that's what I need.
Bruce, you should have put it on YouTube.
Oh, I don't know, man. It'd probably be banned from YouTube. I wasn't too happy. And it was like unbelievable chances
I don't blame you.
You know, now we're in third place and we could have been in first place and... But like I said, one game and we're back in first place. That's what's funny in the long run. You know, I don't care.
Lose another game and you're out of the playoffs.
I don't care how we got there. You know?
Lose one more and you're out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's tough, baby. It's the East.
It is
tough.
Gotta have,
it's tough.
Yeah.
Okay, let's
tough
move on to
be,
so. That's good, Kelly. Did you get your chance to talk this game?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think I've said enough on this one. Like I say, it was just a great game to watch, and you know, maybe I missed some of that in the Edmonton-Calgary game, so I was glad to have watched all of this one.
Okay, how about you, Stevie?
Well, unfortunately, I was only able to watch the first quarter of the Hamilton.
Well, you're not much of a loyal CFL fan, man.
It was a busy weekend for me, unfortunately.
You watch, six quarters a week when it comes to the CFL? What's the matter with you? I'm going to give your head a shake or what?
Well, it was Hamilton. I wasn't really interested.
It's all good, buddy. No, it's all
I'm
good.
I'm just kidding.
I'm the host of the show. I have to watch all the games. And some of the games this week were hard to watch. And I'm sitting there watching them and going, do I really have to? Yeah, I guess I do.
Yeah. No, unfortunately, I did have
CFL
to run out,
season in recent
hoping
memory.
To make it
this
time. But you know, I was shocked that Montreal came back. I don't know what happened, what went wrong, but
same thing that happened with the Argos. If the Argos had been able to throw a touchdown, they would have won.
Yeah.
Hey.
Same
with
Dave.
Ottawa.
Ottawa.
Same Schmidt,
Ottawa.
Dave.
Ottawa could have done that too.
Yeah, anyway, so Hamilton and the Tiger Cats, great game, but not one of the best. How about you there, Christopher?
Kelly alluded to this. I think Crompton really stepped up his game here.
I like
him. In his personal adversity. I don't know if everybody heard that. It was his ex-fiance or something that was killed?
Yep.
Is that correct?
Yep,
and he was aware of it during the game, and he flew home after the game right away to be with her family.
I mean, kudos to him. Just, I don't know.
And Tanner Marsh showed us some stuff, too. I mean,
yeah.
Tanner Marsh made a big contribution, and I expected that from him. This guy's
a
great quarterback. I don't know what happened.
He should have been the guy that should have been in there all along.
Yeah, I know. I don't understand.
And it just seems like they're not giving him the chance.
Maybe he doesn't have pictures on the coach, you know, naked pictures of the coach, or maybe something like that.
Ooh,
maybe he needs to get some.
And that's ooh.
Right?
That's a bad visual, Frank.
Yeah, I don't want that visual. Come on.
Yeah,
Frank, come on.
Oh, you got
nothing
him now,
I like
coach.
Better than a guy with glasses on. You know, I hear this from women all the time. They love guys that look like bookkeepers.
You're
they don't
drugs.
Like these guys, these muscle guys. You know, these muscle guys are a turnoff. They're too many muscles.
Well, I guess
all right,
I'm in that category.
I guess I stepped over the line. Okay. Actually, I jumped over the line, but that's beside the point.
You've been watching too much Big Brother and Frankie, bud.
Yeah, that's right.
Get to Mike Townsend on this Hamilton game or Schmidt or somebody.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike. You're up, buddy.
Yeah. I like to play at Montreal, but I give my hats off to Hamilton too, man. They came off firing on all cylinders.
Your buddy made a catch.
Yeah, he did,
hey,
man.
You know what? He made three. He actually made catches for 78 yards.
But one highlight reel.
I thought of you. I thought of you every time too, buddy.
Me too.
Yeah, and he. And look, and he did it on ESPN when it's showing nationwide all over the United States.
I was waiting all day, all game for his DB to make a pick six off him, and I had my camera all ready. I was going to send you a picture of it, and it never came true. Oh, I was.
Right, man. Did you see the move he put on the defensive back?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Standing.
Yeah,
he left
for sure.
Standing. And you know what? This is what Montreal has to do. Not only did they get Chad involved, all their wide receivers was involved in the game in some type of way. Catches, blocking. I mean, they played.
Kick returning by Deron Carter.
Yep. You know, they played. They all played. And if they can continue playing the way they are, I mean, you know, hey, we can go 8-8. You know what I'm saying? Well, 10-8. You know what I'm saying? Just keep it moving. Keep it moving.
And the ordinary superstar's son was awesome. Mr. Rogers,
yes, sir.
Man, James was incredible. Did a great job.
Yes. Yes, it was a good game, and I enjoyed it. That was one of my games that I enjoyed to watch. And, you know, when they play Edmonton this week coming up, we'll see what Montreal team shows up.
There you go. They got the defense to match up well with Edmonton. It's all going to be all about our offense.
Oh, yeah. Yep. If the offense can pick the way they did yesterday, it's all good.
If they get the short yardage situation and they bring in Marsh, they're going to be fine.
Yeah. You know what, guys? I think Trey Smith is done in Montreal. I think his time is over with. They
time
already
to come
signed
to
a quarterback for the. Yep.
That's not
well, you know, they got to do something. But his time is done, and, you know, he'd be going at the end of the year. They're not going to keep him. They found a quarterback. So.
We'll take him. You guys can update.
I don't know. BC needs a quarterback.
Take Tate.
Hey,
we'll
Kevin Glenn's good.
I don't want Tate.
Well, I tell you what, Chris. BC needs a quarterback for next year. If I was BC, I think I would talk to some
he's that kind of
and
guy.
Get the trade rights for Terrell Pryor. Because he might be coming to Canada next year. Get him in camp early.
I don't have any
pulse. I wouldn't be surprised if BC takes Tate, too, though.
No,
nah, I think
he's had enough orphans. There's a lot of better options
he's injury prone, too, so who knows, right?
Uh-huh. We can't keep picking up Band-Aids. We got to do something permanent.
There you go. When we come back, Mike Townsend is going to start talking about the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers game.
Hey,
but we're going to take a short break. We're
going to
make Boomer crazy. You didn't get a chance to talk about Hamilton? Go ahead.
No.
Storm.
I've seen the last 10 minutes because I was still hungover.
Oh, geez,
but
you
anyways,
wasted
I want to go back. I think what Kelly said about Crompton's fiance dying.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was Kelly, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, both of us.
And I just want to go back with the same thing with Joe West, and, you know, same thing. He played the game and with his brother dying, gets shot there. And you know, that's I don't know how anybody could do that. I just don't.
It's because the game is a part of their life, and they lean on it a little bit. And that's what he's doing. He's leaning on the limbo that the game is. The game turns off the rest of life for a lot of guys. I really believe that.
Yeah. Yeah, and I can't, you know, I can't fathom that, what's going through someone's head, either be fiancé, wife, brother, sister, whatever sort of thing, right? But it's got to be hard to play, but they work through it. And both of them got wins.
They spend
right?
a
so,
lifetime,
you know?
Schmidt. They, you know, Storm. They spend a lifetime setting aside what's happening in their personal life to play the game. It almost becomes automatic to shut off the stuff. I'm not saying it's easy. Gosh, no, I'm not saying it's easy.
Well, no, I couldn't
but
do it.
It's a road that they've been on for a long time, and you know, it's just. But you know what? We have to talk to players about this. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just going by what I understand from history and my experience with players, and it just says that when they get into playing game mode, they push personal life to the side, and it's not easy for something like this.
Oh God!
Understood.
No. Good for them.
You know, yeah, exactly. We're gonna take a short break. When we come back, we're gonna talk about the last game of last week.
The lines of scrimmage in the Canadian game are a yard apart rather than on the tips of the ball. How do you think that would affect play?
Hey, you know, the difference is, hey, NFL, we're like this, right?
Right.
Right here, you're going inside, boy, you're going to get it.
Right.
You're going
right.
outside, I'm going with you, right?
Right.
Okay. But in ball, now I got to square up. I got to square up and look at you, right? And when you start to make a move, then I'm going to turn my hips, all right? You're going to go? I'm going to go. Go.
There you go.
Ooh. Get out of there. You got it. That's football Canadian style.
How you doing today, sir? Right on. You think the NFL going to three downs is a good idea? You like a 20-second play clock? No fair catch rule up there. A lot more scoring. CFL. Thanks a lot. Not getting much out of this guy. CFL. That's where the action is.
It's all about being Canadian, you know. I met Clemens one night, pinball, and there was about 10 of us, and he remembered everybody's name when he left. He said, Chris, see you later, Mark, see you later, Tim, see you later, and he remembered everybody's name. I was so taken back by that. I was like, you know, here's a person that doesn't have to know who you are, but chooses to because he knows, you know, you're important. It's about being a person. It's what you can do with it, not what you can get out of it, and I think that's good. That's what I like about the CFL.
If one were to make a commercial about what's wrong with CFL officiating, I think you could use this game as an example. Holding! Holding! Unbelievable. The worst officiated game I've seen this season. We'll start at the top of the list. And I have to say, I'm very disappointed with the officiating in this game. And I'm not either I'm not a Winnipeg fan or a Saskatchewan fan. I'm just very disappointed in the way the officiating worked here. I mean, holding is not tugging on a jersey and stopping a guy from receiving a pass. Is that not holding? I don't know. You tell me, Mr. Bruce John Inch, what do you think?
I have the same question as you. Oh, wow.
Okay, who's doing that?
I don't know.
Make it stop.
Okay, it's stopped. It's
yes. I have the same question as you, Frank. I have no idea, but I have a question. When they go to challenge that or whatever, who does that call go to? Does that go to the command center too?
Or yeah, it goes
to
that
referees
idiot,
on the field.
Jake Ireland.
So it's not in the hands of the referees on the field.
No, God, no.
Okay, that's all I wanted. Yeah, I didn't. What the hell happened? I don't know. That was right there on my TV, tugging on, I don't know. So, you know, but we're not going to get an answer to that. We're not going to get an answer to that. You know, but we deserve an answer.
Really is what you're talking about. You're talking about justification. There was no justification for that call not being made.
I don't understand. Maybe, like I said, we have a show at the end of each game. Well, not my show, whatever. It's on the radio, CHML. And they had the same topic, and they think the reason is because Ken Austin has a big mouth.
Exactly.
You know,
He's always phoning into the CFL,
he's always complaining about, and you can't blame him in one aspect, but if you complain too much, man, it's like, you want something to complain about, we'll give you something to complain about. And now
and
he
that's
has something
my reasoning
legit.
For Winnipeg. And that's my reasoning for Winnipeg, getting bad calls.
You know,
because
Michael Shea
spends too much time in the referee's ear. In fact, when they were here in Toronto, he was even in the timekeeper his ear. You know, like, come on.
I don't know.
You know,
but you see him on the sideline, too. One minute he's smiling. The other minute he looks like he wants to chop somebody's head off. He's got to control himself a little bit, I think. Like, I'm a huge Austin fan. I don't think he should be fired. You know, a lot of people are saying that.
He's got control.
He's a GM. He's not going to fire himself. No. But I think he has to just, like, cool it down
chill.
A little bit.
Once in a while, chill.
You know, he wonders why his players are getting all these penalties. Well, you know, look at yourself and the way you could conduct yourself on the sideline.
Yeah.
And people see that. You know?
You're right.
It's not like, you know,
right.
TSN loves it because the cameras go right to him. You know,
well, yeah,
I'd rather have
Cortez
sucking on a pen, you know.
Or chewing on it. Or biting
or
the ink out
on
it.
Yeah. I don't know.
No,
but,
Bruce,
you know.
I agree with you 100%. Is that the coaches and the GMs and such need to not publicly embarrass the officials. If they do that, the officials are going to fight back. It's what they do. They're human.
Exactly. And
That's exactly where I was going with the two teams that had the toughest officiated calls this weekend were Winnipeg and Hamilton. And by no coincidence, they are the two teams led by coaches that go over the top. And that's life.
Does that happen in reverse then, Frank, is that if you don't bitch at the referees at all, then you're going
to
get all the calls going your way because the last
three weeks, you have to find the happy medium. Christopher, the last three weeks, the rider calls have gone all their way. Well, they have, as Kelly Bale, who I'm bringing into the conversation right now, Kelly, that echo was due to you, so that's why I turned off your mic. I just want you to know.
No problem.
Anyway, The thing about Regina and Saskatchewan is that they have their feet in the CFL. And Kelly said it last week or last show. He mentioned the fact that, you know, they have a lot already. They're in there with rules and such and the officials and such. They already have a foothold in that. But in defense of what I'm saying right now, in other words, I don't want to go over the top and blame or attack Saskatchewan fans or the team. But the fact remains there's a happy medium you have to find with making sure that the league knows you're unhappy. But they also have to feel as though you're just telling them that you're unhappy. When you start telling them that you're unhappy and you're bringing in the rest of the world in that unhappiness, it creates a bit of a problem, and this is where I think Kent Austin and Michael Shea cross the line. They make it clear that they're calling, you know, the officials out publicly, and simply by virtue of discussing every call all the time on the air while TSN is pointing a camera at you is doing that, and that creates a negative reaction from the officials. Ground floor to the ceiling. If the ground floor are basically the guys on the sidelines, and if the ceiling are the officials that are in the stands or in location in Toronto judging calls. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
I hope
absolutely.
I haven't made it.
I've been on every side of this equation. I've been a player, I've been a coach, and I've been a referee in sport. And, you know, you're right. You do have to find that happy medium, and I buy into the argument you're making for both Austin and O'Shea. I don't think it's the only contributing factor, but it is definitely a contributing factor. You look at somebody like Chamberlain, who's, you know, kind of composed, and when he does go off,
he almost hides when he goes off. You know, he turns and kind of walks toward his big players, and then he gets mad. You know, he doesn't really let it show. You know, I don't recall a time when Chamberlain himself has been fined for making comments detrimental to the officials or the league itself. And you know, these guys, I know O'Shea had last year with the Argos a fine, and that was actually for coming onto the field of play. So, you know, he's got a history with the refs, and
he
learned
sure
these things. Yeah, they learn these things over time, and, you know, there's good guys and there's bad guys and everything. Everybody who's had a job, especially that's refereed a game, can relate to the fact that you don't want somebody breathing down your neck all the time.
Exactly.
Or, you
isn't
know,
that isn't that
yeah.
what you're saying? Like, I agree 100%.
Absolutely.
I'm dying to say something here. And as far as relating to what we're talking about here, can you imagine somebody yelling and screaming at you every day about what you're doing,
yeah.
what you're doing wrong?
Exactly.
I mean, you're going to tune them out. And then you're going to say, you know what? I'm going to screw you just because I'm pissed at you right now.
Yep.
And that's
Frank,
what it looks
those pieces of rock that you've lined up, you did such a crappy job on that, man.
Exactly. F you. I'm going to drop one of those rocks on your head right now. Get ready for it.
There
they come. But that's life, right? That's life.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter whether the officials are wrong or whether they're right. But if you keep reminding them that they're wrong, whether they're wrong or whether they're right, they're going to say, you know what, I think I was right, and I think I'm going to show you how right I am. Hello. How you doing? Here. Eat this because it tastes real good. It's crow, but it's not the crow you earned. It's the crow that I'm feeding you. So, that's the way it goes, baby. I mean, complain all you want. And that's why I admire Scott Milanovic. He sits there and he doesn't even make calls. He should. I'm sitting here going, throw the goddamn flag, you stupid mother. You fucking give me this. You could get the. Why aren't you doing it? And I know why he isn't doing it, because he's thinking, Grey Cup, I'm going to make a complaint. They're going to listen rather than try to hide what I'm saying. Instead of ignoring me, they go, well, you know, he hardly ever complains. Let's hear what he has to say. Oh, really? It looked like they were offside. Okay, they were offside. You know, and that's why I love Scott Milanovic, because he doesn't bitch and complain every 3 seconds. You know?
Just like Huffnagel doesn't complain at all either.
Absolutely. Understood. And you know, there's an investment that they're making, you know? And our friend Michael Jay
doesn't do it often. He doesn't do it often, but when Huff loses it on an official, he loses it.
Totally.
Yeah, but I can't remember the last time he had a fine, or if he ever had a fine from the league for bitching about the.
But I think Christopher is saying the same thing you're saying. What Christopher is saying is that he saves his moments for when he feels they're very important. In other words, he has a high threshold for bullshit by the officials.
That's why he's got high blood pressure, because his face is always red.
Yeah, but his
My
face is always red. I'm in the game, baby. I'm in the game. I don't have to win every battle. I just need to win the ones that matter. And that's what makes them so great. And that's what makes coaches and GMs great, is they win the battles they need to win the big game. If you need to win every battle, you're not going to win the big game battle. You're not. It's just that simple.
But when you I agree with you guys, like when you look like a jackass, you are a jackass.
Well, exactly. You're right. Thank you for verbalizing it, because, you know, I couldn't.
Being so articulate.
Oh,
donkey,
are you getting tickled right now because you're articulate? Are you getting tickled? You're tickled pink,
no.
aren't you? Oh, no, in your case, red.
I think Frank had too much wine tonight.
Why would you say such a thing while I drink another sip of wine? Oh, wow. That bottle went down easy, and it's a 40-ouncer.
Okay,
Winnipeg, Saskatchewan.
Do you want to go to the next game? You really want to go to the next game, do you, Christopher? Kelly, you want to go to the next game, do you?
Well, we started already with somebody. I can't remember who, Mike, or was it Bruce?
Well, we started actually with Bruce, and then Bruce took it back to Hamilton.
Right. Right, which is what he was supposed to do. Stay in Hamilton. Okay. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to talk about the Saskatchewan Roughriders and the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And we're going to start from the top of the list. Okay, we're back, and welcome back to the program, and now we're going to be talking to Bruce John Inch about the game that he didn't watch between Saskatchewan and Winnipeg because he doesn't care about the West.
Oh, you're funny.
Bruce?
Yes. No, I didn't watch it. I didn't watch the game.
See?
So,
like I said, I predicted it. So let's go down to a guy who
actually with that said, though, I'd just like to say goodnight to everybody. I got to shoot, take the dog out, and I will talk to you, gentlemen, on Wednesday. It's been a slice.
And watch on the dome.
I'll watch that later on, but everybody have a nice day tomorrow. It's going to be nice in southern Ontario. I don't know where you live.
Yeah.
And,
do you want the snow from Edmonton here?
I saw that on the Weather Network. I felt sorry for you boys, but...
Yeah.
No, you can keep
my nipples
that.
Are still
it
hurt.
Melted.
You can keep that
going. It's no big deal. It melted.
But anyway. Okay, gentlemen, you guys all have a good night, and we'll talk to you Wednesday. Thanks again, Frank.
Okay, Bruce. Get the Schmidt out of here.
Good night.
Get the Schmidt out of here, Bruce. Attaboy. Attaboy. He's gone. Finally. Nothing I hate more than Ticat fans. I mean, really. Give me a break. Oh, my God. We lost. It's the end of the world. Oh, my God. We're Argo fans. We're used to losing, and we're used to winning. And we know that both those things are going to happen, so we don't get excited about it. Right, Stevie?
That's right. We're there. That's all that matters, and we make the best out of it.
We sure do. So what'd you think of this game between Saskatchewan and Winnipeg?
Well, I did have a favorite. I usually go Winnipeg when it comes to the West. Was a little disappointed that they still couldn't get the win. It seems like the Riders seem to have turned things around for the better for themselves. I don't really know what to say really about Winnipeg. I would have thought that they would had the Riders in one of the two banjo matchups.
Old games, yep.
Yeah, but no, unfortunately, it didn't work.
3-0, baby. 3-0, baby. If you're a Saskatchewan fan like Kelly, 3-0, baby.
I thought it was a pretty good game.
Sure was.
With the exception of some of that officiating that we were just talking about earlier.
Oh, my gosh, it was terrible, the officiating.
Like I said, I was just refreshing my memory on some of the games and looking at the highlights, and I was seeing that one, I think it was a return that Saskatchewan was doing. I'm pretty sure I saw a holding as he was running by.
Oh, there was. And the
good tug on a jersey there.
Oh, absolutely. And then a couple of calls later, two calls holding against Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly a greatly officiated game. Right, Christopher?
Could I add something to what you guys are talking about with the officiating with Austin and with O'Shea getting in the ears of the referees? And I get the frustration part and everything. But when does it become too much that the referees kind of trying to send a message to these guys that it starts maybe having an effect on the game itself?
It's not sending a
message. Do you understand where I'm going with that?
It's not sending a message, Steve. It's the way it's been for 101 years. This is just, I mean, you can't help personal lives crossing over into professional sport. There's no remedy for this.
No. I get that. It's just, I guess the point I'm just trying to make sense of anyways is just that because, you know, your coaches are getting in the ears and ticking off the referees and that, what about the rest of the players on the field that has really nothing to do with it and it's really affecting the outcome for them? I don't know.
Right.
I think you understand where I'm coming from, I hope.
Yeah, well, what I would say is maybe team captains need to have a speak with coach because really, where do you go other than coach? It's probably not the GM's job to tell the coach how to do his job, but the players maybe can say something. So maybe in a captain's meeting or, you know, something like this, they can say, you know, coach, lighten up. Like, we think you're
that
maybe...
That won't happen. That won't happen, though.
Yeah, that won't happen.
I can see maybe some players being able to, I guess, have the guts to kind of say that to their coach, but...
What about the rest of the coaching staff?
I mean, guys, if we're
No, that's true, too. Yeah, no, I agree with you guys on that one. I was just wondering what your thoughts were on it. But
you're not
going
to change Kent Austin. I don't care how much you talk to him. You're not going to change him. That's his personality. That was his personality when he was in Saskatchewan. That's his personality in Hamilton. That's who the man is.
Oh, and I agree with you.
You're right.
Yeah. There is no changing Austin.
He was that way as a player, too.
You can... There's nothing you can do. It's just one of those things that has to run its pace, and the league has to step up and say, "Look, you guys are just this is getting ridiculous because it's looking like a clown show."
Well, nobody's been fined yet, right?
You mean the referees?
No, I mean the coaching. When they speak publicly, like you guys were mentioning about the reffing.
Yes, they
have.
Not.
Has any coach
been? There have been players and coaches fined this season for detrimental talk about
officials. Okay.
Yeah. But one of the things that's happening is, like, Mike O'Shea, he put in 18 different video clips to the league last week alone on one game, 18 video clips specifically about the refereeing, complaining about the refereeing. How do you think that's going to affect the next game that he plays? You know, that's the question here that we all ask. That's what Frank's trying to point out right now. It may not be yelling at the line judge on the side of the field. It may not be barking at the referee or the head umpire. It's 18 video clips going to the league complaining about their job. That's not just yelling at them being, you're a dick, you don't know what you're doing. This is going to their over their head to their boss saying this is an actual complaint about this person, and there's 18 of them. That does not fare well with referees. They're not happy about that. And O'Shea had just cause. But it's still not going to bode well for them.
But you just got to know when to zip it, though, right? When you're a coach, a player, you just got to know when to zip it.
I mean, like how many people can relate to this? Like, When you're losing and stuff, you just look for answers and stuff like that.
Yep.
And the answer isn't the officiating in this case. Like that holding call in the Saskatchewan game on the Dressler return that everybody is referring to on Facebook and, you know, all the Bomber fans crying foul. Well, you know, that's a coulda, woulda, shoulda. And if you're living by that, you're not going to win many football games. And you know, me as a fan of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, and Storm is a fan of the Calgary Stampeders, and probably most of you guys as a fan of your teams, you guys expect wins. I mean, you don't expect your team to cry foul on penalties and stuff like that. That's kind of amateur hour, you know?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, if you guys are all basing on one bad call costing you the game, then you are already in trouble before the bad call.
Yep.
But, yeah, no, I agree with you on that, Kelly.
Well, exactly, Kelly.
I just wanted to get your thoughts on it, mostly.
The thing is, too, though,
that
it's, you know, what comes around goes around, too, right? You get a bad call against your team, you'll get one against you, too. I mean, it comes around and goes around, right?
Sometimes I find that the referees realize they made a bad call, so they try to make up for it.
There was a pickup call in that Saskatchewan game about 3-4 minutes later, and I noticed it, and I said to Don, hey, that's a makeup call for that hold right there, that missed hold, and it was a missed hold. I mean, any way you slice it, I mean, I'll give him that. The guy, I mean, you look at it, the guy has a fistful of jersey in the front, right on the W. So.
Yep. Okay.
Well, my problem is that that quite frankly, the calls are made based on politics, and by politics I mean, you know, piss me off and I'm not going to listen to you. Talk to me and I might, you know. So a coach, a GM, a team needs to figure out a way to talk to the officials one on one, as opposed to talk down to them. even when the officials are wrong, you can't talk down to them. I said
these are
well,
these,
you can't,
these officials
you can't,
are
it's not
supposed
get, it's
to
not
be doing
get,
a
it's
job.
It's not going to get you anywhere, though. It's not going to get you
okay,
anywhere.
Hang on, Christopher, and then obviously Schmitty.
Okay, these officials are being paid to do a job. We know they're supposed to be non-biased, and they can't
be.
It's totally impossible, and I understand that. But they're supposed to do their job. Now, I'm going to touch base with the last game that I was at, which was the Riders and BC game. Getzlaff, Chris Getzlaff, was offside every single play of that game. Sometimes
he didn't like
pass the free safety before he was caught, you know, and he still didn't get flagged. It was ridiculous how. But this person, this line judge who is sitting there in there can notice the slightest titch of an offensive lineman. He just moves a muscle, and, oh, there's a procedure call. But he doesn't notice this green flash that goes in front of his face and is 10 yards down the field?
Well,
I don't understand.
To be fair, there was 4 procedure calls on 3 on Getzlaff and another on Bag in that game. But like you said, Christopher, it was 90% of his offensive plays where he was a step over the line. It was. I'll agree again, 100%.
He was past the 1 yard neutral zone.
Yeah.
He was in the backfield, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah,
the Rider
sure.
fans that I was sitting with at BC Place, they could not believe it. They were laughing that it was literally comical at how far down we were going to bet on how far down he was going to be before they got the ball.
Yep.
And there was never, you know, the flags just didn't come out. It was a joke. And it happened in both of the Winnipeg games because I specifically was watching Getzlaff through those games to find out whether or not it went on. So you cannot say that because those would have been 3 separate officials, 3 different
mm-hmm.
ones. They didn't play the same officials those 3 games. Yet the same position let him get away with that over and over and over and over again. So you cannot tell me that there is not something going on in the league
guys,
with the officials working on this on this game.
Do you remember in the Hamilton game this week, the Hamilton-Montreal game, some of those undisciplined penalties Bruce was talking about, and one of them was holding against Hamilton, and did you see the ref gasp when he had to call holding on, like, a 4th consecutive play? He literally gasped into the mic before he called it, and the boos rained down. Actually, no, it was in the Saskatchewan game, pardon me. It was holding on Winnipeg, and, the ref literally gasps before he makes the call into the mic. It's hilarious. he was just getting sick of having to call the holding, and I think maybe that's what was going on. But, I mean, if Saskatchewan hasn't told Getzlaff, listen, you are under a close watchful eye after what we have seen, you know, mm-hmm. on film, and to get that waggle straightened out because, like you say, it's not just one game. He's kind of done this his whole career, and he's got to get it under control.
Yeah, but when you're
why
when
should
you're outside,
he? They're not calling him.
But that's the point, though, Christopher. You're making your own point. Is that if he's 0.1% over the line and the referees aren't catching it, why not keep going to it?
Yeah. I'm not blaming Getzlaff.
No, I know you're not, and I'm agreeing with you, and I'm saying,
you know,
I'm obligating the listeners to understand what we're talking about here, and that is that as long as you don't get called, you're going to go to the well over and over again, aren't you?
If
you know
got
who
18
else?
Offside penalties in one game, it would end.
Yeah, exactly.
It would be
sure.
over. He would never
did
step
you know,
over that line again. That waggle would be sorted out, or he would not be playing
remember,
for that team.
Do you guys remember who used to do this back in the 1980s? A guy Chris Getzlaff grew up watching, Ray Elgard, used to do the exact same thing. He was over the line on 90% of plays. And, I mean, it was just, like you said, a symptom of the non-call.
Well hey, listen, if they're not going to call you, you're going to keep doing it, no?
Yes.
Absolutely.
And that's my point of where the officials need to step up their game. They need to be made accountable, and they have to stop.
But what
have
we established,
like
Christopher? what have we established in this program, even within ourselves, just being CFL fans, not being anybody that has any control over what happens in the CFL? But we do understand one thing, and that is that if you nag the officials, they're going to ignore you. You know, it's human nature, right? What we're talking about here is human nature. And if the officials are nagged, they're going to fight back a little bit. And they will. And they will succeed because they determine what's important. And they won't make the calls that you want them to make because you're nagging them. And I'm not saying you are or you aren't. I'm just saying the appearance to them is all that matters. It doesn't matter whether it is nagging or not. Now I'm done.
But then again, you know, the refs and the linesmen and all that kind of stuff, they should be fined for a person doing this over and over and over time.
And they are.
Well, where do you hear that?
Well, you're not going to hear about it, Mr. Storm.
Well, we should hear that.
No, you shouldn't hear it. No, I disagree.
Yes.
CFL, I understand what you're saying, guys. And my knee-jerk reaction is to agree with you. But my common sense part of me says, do not humiliate the officials. If they're not good enough to be officials, get the friggin' rid of them, and that's it. Never mind about humiliating them. Just get rid of them.
These employees, they're not going to officiate them, offend them ever publicly. It's just not the way things work. Yeah.
Right?
I understand that, though, but if people keep, like, Getzlaff and whoever else are getting away with this stuff, I mean, they do the game tapes and stuff like that.
But if the official isn't good enough to be an official, the solution is simple. Get rid of him or her.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's why I'm saying.
Why is it acceptable to make it public a fine on a player or a coach and not acceptable on a referee?
Yeah. Exactly.
It's only not that it's not acceptable. I just said it. They're a league employee. I mean, why would the league criticize their own employee?
And why criticize them to the point where they need to fire them when they can just fire them?
Okay, well, fire them and don't say anything. Just fire them then.
That's what they do. But that's what I'm telling
they
you.
They haven't.
That's what leagues do. No.
Andre Drew is still refereeing.
But that's because you think he's not good enough to be an official. I'm telling you that when he proves to be
he's good enough to be an official. Somebody,
he's
please?
From Quebec.
Anybody?
He's good enough.
Anybody?
He's from Quebec. He's good enough.
Anybody?
I think he's great, but I think he gets a lot of flack because of his accent and you know, there's kind of a stereotype. Yeah, but
he gets a lot of flack because of his dumbass calls.
Well, we're you know, all in agreement that all the officials need a little fine-tuning.
Would it not be fair to suggest that the officials' bad calls are part of the fact that they're a crew chief and that the crew makes calls more than just they themselves?
That was one of the things that Glenn Johnson, the head referee, was doing this year, was he was mixing up the crews so they're not constantly moving from one game to another as a unit.
Together.
And they're changing them around so that they...
And maybe that's why the officiating is so inconsistent this year. Because that's
possibly.
What it is. Can we agree at least, because we only got like 30 seconds left, can we agree that the officiating is inconsistent this year?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, most definitely.
Inconsistent.
And you know what it's going to come down to? What it's going to come down to is it's going to come down to the playoffs, and they're not going to call anything. Plain and simple.
There you go.
And teams lose games during the regular season now because of some calls, and it's bullshit, right? And it's got to stop. You got to have a happy medium, right? You just can't be one team having 18 penalties, another team having 2.
From a member of a fan base whose team is 9-1, I appreciate your call and your comment. Okay, we're gonna leave it there, gentlemen.
He left it there, all right.
I'm still here.